Welcome to the Informed Discussions podcast, where we discuss the latest economic, demographic, and public policy research that is helping Utah prosper. I'm Nick Theriot, Communications Director at the Gardner Institute. Today, we will be discussing the recently released Utah Behavioral Health Master Plan, a guide to help strengthen Utah's mental health and substance use disorder systems. Joining us is Gardner Institute Director of Industry Research, Laura Summers. So let's get started. Under the direction of the Utah Hospital Association and the Utah Department of Health and Human Services, the Utah Behavioral Health Coalition convened to develop a comprehensive and coordinated approach to improving people's behavioral health in our state. The Gardner Institute, in partnership with Levitt Partners, assisted the Utah Behavioral Health Coalition in assessing needs, gaps, and challenges in Utah's behavioral health systems. This assessment informed the development of the Utah Behavioral Health Master Plan, which Laura joins us now to discuss. Before we get to the master plan, Laura, let's introduce you first. Talk about your background in this field of research. What brought you to all this?
Great. So I serve as the Director of Industry Research at the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute. My background is actually healthcare research. So I do a lot of my personal research is conducting research on healthcare data, policies, and impacts to the Utah healthcare sector. Historically, my background has been state-level health reform, with a particular focus in Medicaid, mental and behavioral health, as well as broader public health issues. Prior to joining the Institute, I was actually the Senior Director of State Intelligence at Levitt Partners, which is a healthcare consulting company. In that position, I prepared detailed studies of state-by-state comparative data and analyzed national and state healthcare programs, policies, and trends.
Now, let's get some background on the master plan. Where did this originate and how did it come about?
So this is really building off previous work that the Gardner Institute completed starting back in 2019. In 2019, we partnered with the Utah Hospital Association to create or develop an assessment of Utah's mental health system, where we really dove into the challenges related to Utah's mental health system. And then the Utah Hospital Association took that assessment and worked to develop a set of recommendations specifically to improving the mental health side of behavioral health. They kind of knew at that time that the report was fairly limited. It really only focused it on mental health. It was primarily focused on the adult population. So a lot of this was due to just timing and scoping issues, but there was always a desire to go back and do a broader assessment of all of the different sectors that are connected to mental health, also address substance use disorder issues because those are two very closely related issues, as well as look at all of the other sectors that are impacted as well. So you don't always get a chance to kind of go back and do follow-up research. So it was really great that the Utah Hospital Association had this vision. So back in starting in 2022, the Utah Hospital Association and the Department of Health and Human Services created the Behavioral Health Coalition, which is comprised of industry experts, to go in and assess Utah's full behavioral health systems and develop a comprehensive and coordinated approach to improving people's behavioral health in the state of Utah.
So before we discuss the master plan itself, let's first just get a sense of behavioral health itself. When we say behavioral health, what are we referring to in that?
Yeah, it's a little, kind of can be a little confusing. The term behavioral health, as we're using it in the report, refer directly to mental health and substance use disorders. It's one of those areas where language is changing a lot. So some people prefer to use different terms. Some people prefer to use keep the two terms separate and just focus in on mental health and just focus in on substance use disorders. But for the purposes of the report and the fact that we were examining both systems, the coalition decided to keep the term behavioral health. And when that term is used, we're really referring to the full continuum of mental health and substance use disorder services and systems.
So the executive summary in the plan notes that, quote, Utah, like the rest of the country, is facing a growing behavioral health crisis. Numerous gaps in care exist across Utah's continuum of behavioral health services and supports in Utah's rural areas for Utahns from diverse cultures and communities, as well as across the population lifespan. So expand on that for us. Expand on the, quote, problem identified in the plan. We use the word crisis. That's not a word used lightly. So what expand on that problem for us and what we identify in the report.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say it's definitely not a new problem. It's a problem the state and the country have been trying to address for decades. I think it's gotten more attention in the last few years as the prevalence of mental health needs and the attention on mental health and substance use disorder issues has grown, particularly as a result of the pandemic. But in terms of the problem Utah is facing specifically, it kind of boils down to three key issues. The first one is just growing demand. Utah ranks 11th highest among states in terms of the share of adults with any mental illness, third highest for adults with serious mental illness, and fourth highest for adults with serious thoughts of suicides. And these trends have been growing over time. For example, the share of young adults in Utah with poor mental health has more than doubled over the last 10 years. The second key issue is that limited access to care. Many Utahns do not have access to the behavioral health care they need. And while data has actually shown that utilization may have improved for some populations over the last few years, nearly half of Utah's adults and more than half of Utah's youth do not receive necessary services or treatment. And as you mentioned, access to care is even more limited in Utah's rural areas, for Utahns from diverse cultures and communities, and for some groups across the population lifespan, including services for very young children, as well as our youth and older adults. The third key issue is that demand continues to outweigh supply. We just don't have enough providers to keep up with the growing needs around mental health and substance use disorders in our states. Utah has mental health provider shortages in every county and fewer mental health providers per 100,000 population than the national average. And the COVID-19 pandemic really just amplified a lot of pressures on Utah's already limited workforce. All of these issues combine kind of then speaks to the key issues that we found in our assessment of Utah's behavioral health systems. And that is that system fragmentation is creating and exacerbating challenges in Utah's behavioral health systems. Some of the issues that are related to this fragmentation include a lack of system-level coordination, siloed approaches to addressing behavioral health needs, administrative complexities, ongoing workforce shortages, and a lack of sustainable funding. These issues combined then produce a complex, really often confusing system for individuals, not only for providers, but for individuals who are seeking services, and then create challenges for them accessing care at the right place and at the right time. At this level, we're talking broader than just payer-level integration and provider-level integration. We're talking about the need for the state to have a coordinated effort moving forward as more and more sectors in Utah are being impacted by and seeking to address behavioral health. For example, not only do we have a growing number of state agencies working on behavioral health initiatives, from the Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Workforce Services, to courts, to corrections, but we have health systems, we have public and private providers, we have schools, we've got nonprofits, we have advocates that are all working on or standing up behavioral health initiatives. And I want to pause there because while all of these groups are doing great things, good things, and really meeting the needs of specific populations, ultimately, the lack of a coordinated system means that funding and the state's limited behavioral health workforce are not being maximized for efficiency or effectiveness. And as our state continues to grow and behavioral health needs increase, there may be a need to consider a more coordinated system approach to ensure appropriate access to services across the population and across our state's geography.
You've done a really terrific job of kind of laying out the problem for us and the landscape as it stands. Now let's discuss the master plan process. What does the plan identify as key steps going forward in terms of strategic priorities and just the guiding principles in general. What's guiding this process and what are the priorities it identifies to address these issues that you've laid out?
So in terms of the process of itself, it really consisted of three phases. This was a long project. It spanned over the course of about a year and a half, almost 2 years. The first phase was conducting an environmental scan, really to dive in deep to better understand current behavioral health initiatives, gaps in services, challenges, barriers, and any inequities related to providing and accessing behavioral health services in Utah. The second phase consisted of taking that information from the environmental scan, the data, the feedback collected, to identify those system-level gaps and key areas of need. And then the third phase was, at least our role, was working with and supporting the Behavioral Health Coalition as they develop the master plan that can serve as a guide for private and public sector systems and stakeholders striving to create a more equitable, aligned, and effective behavioral health system. Just in terms of that first phase, I just wanted to note that really consisted of four components. The first was building on previous assessments, which I mentioned. There's been a lot of research conducted by the Gardner Institute, as well as just a lot of research conducted by other groups that we wanted to build on and make sure was captured in this assessment. So that included reviewing updated reports, information and data, capturing recent changes in the environment. But most importantly was collecting qualitative information through discussion groups, interviews, and other feedback mechanisms. In terms of that qualitative component, we held 30 formal discussion groups and in-depth interviews from the end of June 2022 through January 2023. We also engaged in a lot of informal interviews, discussions with additional groups who reached out to us, who had heard about this process, who had heard about this plan, and were wanting to connect. Overall, over 300 participants, probably closer to 400 participants, participated in these conversations. Now, that said, even with meeting with all of these groups, we recognized that we didn't have a chance to connect with everyone, which is one of the reasons why the coalition was very supportive of releasing a draft of the plan so that we could continue to meet with groups and collect information and feedback. So a draft of the Behavioral Health Master Plan was released the end of July 2023, collected public feedback through the beginning of November, and then the current version of the master plan, which we're calling 1.0, incorporates all of this feedback to make sure that it was really reflective of the entire Utah community, all of the behavioral health systems, and all of the key players that are participating and impacted by Utah's behavioral health systems. Again, we coupled this information with previous reports as well as new information to help paint that full picture of what Utah's current behavioral health systems look like in the state of Utah.
This, you've described so much great work by a lot of people, a lot of community partners going into this. And you've also mentioned this is version 1.0. The work is not done yet. This is a living document. We've kind of laid out what are the final conclusions in the final version of this latest draft, rather. There's obviously plenty more to do. So just talk to us about next steps. Where do we leave it with this version, and what are the next steps going forward on the part of you and the part of our community partners?
So this plan lays out a framework for the Behavioral Health Master Plan. Again, we're calling it version 1.0, knowing that it needs to be a living document based off of the environment continually changing as new initiatives are created, as new players come into the market, as our population's behavioral health needs change and grow. We recognize that this plan needs to be a fluid document that can be changed and updated over time to reflect the most current needs of our state. That being said, it includes a framework that consists of sort of four key areas that allows for that flexibility. So the first one is the master plan identifies a set of guiding principles. It also lays out a set of strategic priorities. It also recognizes some key questions. The Behavioral Health Coalition knew that they did not have the answers to everything, that there were key questions that need to be answered, that there's more research that needs to be done. So outlining some of those key questions that could influence future iterations of the master plan. And then finally, it lays out a set of recommended focus areas for programmatic changes with a now, next, and future timeline that kind of creates that top-down and bottom-up approach of some very broad strategic direction, but more narrow programmatic recommendations potentially get started on now. Just in terms of the guiding principles, these are really meant to guide the master plan as it was developed for version one, as well as to guide future iterations of the master plan. So to correct the system level issues and ensure an efficient system moving forward, the Behavioral Health Coalition identified four key principles that really are meant to align future work related to Utah's behavioral health systems. The first one is equity, knowing that reform should address behavioral health disparities and promote a state in which everyone has a fair and just opportunity to attain their highest level of health. The second one is access. Reform should increase access to person-centered, prompt, and affordable behavioral health services. The third one is alignment. Reform should support coordinated, navigable, sustainable behavioral health services. And finally, the last one is value, is that reform should encourage investments in effective behavioral health services that demonstrate both direct savings and indirect medical, educational, and social service savings. These guiding principles then directed the creation of seven strategic priorities that span from focusing on evidence-based interventions to strengthening prevention and early intervention to improving patient navigation and then expanding, supporting, and diversifying Utah's behavioral health workforce. Again, this is a living document. The master plan is designed to be updated over time. This version outlines those strategic priorities for behavioral health system reform, those key questions, and those recommended focus areas for programmatic change. Future versions hopefully will identify more specific objectives, really actionable steps, as well as measurable outcomes for select priorities. We know as the work begins and systems evolve that those key questions and recommended focus areas may change and that more priorities, questions, and focus areas are going to be identified.
So we've talked a lot about strategic priorities and guiding principles, et cetera. What for you, if you were to just sum up everything we've talked about today in like a key phrase or a few words, what to you this work represents or what should people most be aware of, what the key takeaways are in this important work?
So I would say it kind of boils down to three key points. First is that we have growing behavioral health needs in our state. As our population grows, as our population changes, we have a growing need for both mental health and substance use disorder services that are changing. The second is that we really need to recognize and highlight there are a lot of positive things happening in our behavioral health systems today. There's a lot of great work being done. There's a lot of folks that are very passionate about addressing these issues and getting services to the populations that need them. That said, a lot of this work is not being coordinated, which is leading to duplication of work, inefficiencies, and ineffectiveness within the system. Hopefully, this master plan creates a vision for a more coordinated approach, knowing that having a unified approach to system-level reform will help ensure all Utahns have better behavioral health over time.
Comes back to a lot of the work we do at the Institute, growth and change being our constant companion.
Exactly.
Laura, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you to Laura for joining us to discuss this important topic. And as always, thanks for listening to the Informed Discussions podcast from the University of Utah's Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute at the David Eccles School of Business.